future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. I just want to kick things off by saying what a crazy couple of days we have had here in the City of London. We've had World Blockchain Conference that kicked off Monday night with a drinks reception. Myself and Shane Kehoe, co-founder of SVK Crypto, were there. Yesterday, it was an amazing vibe, but it was an amazing event to be part of. So big thank you to the organizers and everyone else who was there as well. It was great to meet you all. Thank you so much. It means a lot when everyone comes up to us and introduces themselves. Thank you so much for everyone out there who came up and had some nice words to say about the podcast. Really appreciate that. And it was great meeting everyone else at the after party hosted by EMX. Big shout out to those guys. They're doing an incredible job over there, and best of luck with the ICO launch. Today, myself and Shane rocked up to the Crypto Brunch, which is a very interesting and special event. It's really bringing down institutions, so hedge funds, family offices, and really trying to create a bridge between the crypto worlds. So there was an open panel discussion where Shane was speaking on alongside Cumberland Mining, Swissborg. Also, Fern was in the building, so big shout out to those guys. So it was a great panel, lots of interesting discussions, lots of interesting talks. It was interesting to see where the family offices, mines are, what institutions are thinking, the questions that they have. I was actually surprised with the level of insight that they had. They had a really deep understanding of what was going on. Great questions were asked. And it was great to be part of the event. So thanks very much to the guys who organized Crypto Brunch. Really appreciate it. We look forward to coming back. Anyway, let's get down to business and see what's been going on in the market. So the current market cap is $217 billion, taking a small step back today from the last couple of days. Momentum. Bitcoin's dominance is currently 55.1%, which looks like the highest it's been this year thus far. Bitcoin's currently trading at $6,961. It pains me to see it break below $7,000. But listen, I'm in it for the long term, and I have nothing but confidence. Bitcoin is currently down 5.6%. Ethereum's currently trading at $245, down 15%. I think Ethereum has felt the most of this slight drawback that we have experienced in the market. Lots of negative stories out there. We covered a really great one that was written in the TechCrunch magazine, talking about why ETH has zero value and why the network does. Really interesting. Check that out. It's Monday's podcast. EOS currently trading at $5.50, down 16%. We have Litecoin at currently trading at $59. That's down at 13%. And I want to give a special shout out to Bitcoin Diamond, currently trading at $2.78. And that's up 108% thus far. So definitely beating the overall market there in the last 24 hours. Well, listen, let's find out what's been going on, why we're seeing a slight drawback, what the market thinks, and what could potentially be making this happen. What are the stories? What are people talking about? So let's get down to business. Listen, let's just tackle this head on. So the big story today, Goldman Sachs has come out with a big story. So let's find out more about it. So this morning it was reported that Goldman Sachs will indefinitely postpone plans to launch a crypto assets trading desk, which was announced with much fanfare at the height of the crypto mania in December 2017. So much of the justification of this decision, or for this decision, is based on the uncertain legal and regulatory footing that the industry is currently muddling through. So one may ask why it seems like there are times when a bank is speaking out of both sides of its mouth. Fortunately, there is a scene from a 2002 Dennis Quaid film called The Rookie that accurately summarizes bank perspectives when they think they're getting involved with crypto assets. In the movie, Dennis Quaid plays a 40-year-old high school science teacher and baseball coach, Jack Morris, who once was a former top baseball pitching prospect. He goes to open tryout for a Major League Baseball team, the Tampa Bay Devils. And after the tryout, which from his perspective went poorly, he has the following exchange of a scout. Scout, how fast were you throwing back in the day? Quad, slow enough that the scout stopped using the word fast. Scout says, well, you just threw 98 miles per hour, 12 straight pitches. Quad, there's no way. Scout, listen, if I call the office and tell them that I have a guy twice the age of these kids, then I'm going to get laughed at. But if I don't call in a 98 mile per hour fastball, I'm going to get fired. So many offices around the world, executives, innovation managers, and digital strategists are facing a similar dilemma. They know that if they suggest or even recommend that their institutions get involved with crypto assets, they'll be met with, or let's be honest here, most of them will be met with contempt. And I really believe that most of them will be met with contempt. Well, in fact, so let's give you the idea. So in fact, earlier this year, most major credit card issuers banned users from purchasing crypto assets with cards after many were unable to pay back their balances. Reasons why are easy to list. Number one, an uncertain legal structure that creates nightmares for regulatory departments. Number two, many ICOs have proven to be outright fraudulent or at the very least will never deliver on their promises. Number three, there are a few clearly defined use cases and interest in the space is speculative at best. And number four, many customers lost funds last year, resulting in subsequent credit losses for the bank. So, yeah, this is only half of the story. Otherwise, it would be easy for banks to stop here and let crypto be crypto. On the contrary, today, the industry is simply becoming too big to ignore. Most of the people listening are probably likely to familiar with this, with last year's bull run. I know everyone listening is, which saw Bitcoin approach $20,000 and the overall crypto market rise past $800 billion. So this is too big to ignore for all of these people. Like, the banks can't ignore this now because it's real. And believe me, when it runs back up to the $800 billion, past the $1 trillion mark, it's too big to ignore. We're too loud. We're making too much noise and they want a piece of the action. But it's too small at this current point in time, which is what the kind of the stories out there have been saying. They've been saying it's too small. They've been saying there's regulatory issues. But believe me, this passes $1 trillion. There's no doubt in my mind that Goldman Sachs is going to be reopening their crypto assets trading desk. And maybe they just said this to buy a cheaper price. Who knows? But anyway, listen, this is important because this moved the market today. This was part of it. I mean, I think a lot of this is just fundamentally driven, but this was definitely part of some of the drawback that we saw today. And I'm going to go through some other stories that I believe had a major factor as well. The next focus that we're gonna talk about now is $800 million Bitcoin wallet reactivates. Tens of millions are sent to exchanges. So the original wallet owned 111,000 Bitcoins and Bitcoin Cash, right? Because they could claim that, which is currently valued over $844 million without taking in account other Bitcoin forks. So reads the beginning of a crypto saga posted over the last 3 days. Last movements on the sub-wallets are 4 and 5 months old, March 19th, 2004, and the chunks have been divided over time to 60,000 coins, then to 30,000, 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, 500, and now 100. Now, who could this be? Could it be, Dread Pirate Roberts or Silk Road individuals, you know, selling a bit of Bitcoin, busting an old stash, now open, the coasts have cleared? Or is it the disaster Mt. Gox sorts out to cash their loot? Theories have been all around the internet today, all around different forums. But what moved Bitcoin Core from a 4-year dormant virtual wallet containing more than 111,000 Bitcoin, a value of right around $800 million at current prices? The movement was indeed uncovered by subreddit user sick_silk. And in a series of posts, attempts are made by both the poster and commenters to divine the wallet's owner and motives. So the wallet's creation dates back to just before summer of 2014 and is now active or moving. The funds are heading to at least two different exchanges. Over 111,000 Bitcoin is available. 11,000 Bitcoin, about $80 million, made its way from the mysterious wallet to Bitfinex. A cool $30 million was found on its way to Binance. By themselves, they're not earth-shattering amounts. However, in an extended bear market, one lingering since 2017, enthusiasts are wary of any news that might even hint at a potential glut or dump of Bitcoin. For better or worse, as Bitcoin moves, so does the crypto market as a whole. In fact, many investors continue to smart after the Gox trustee sold off heavy amounts of Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash not too long ago, effectively tanking prices, a practice he's sworn off. In the background, too, is evergreen speculation about Satoshi's real personage, with the new allegations extending to the likelihood of it being more of a group, three men, and the principals only one is alive with access to keys, enabling his claim to the amount by 2020. So less read crypto news outlets have widely settled on the rumor the wallet belongs to the long defunct Silk Road website in some fantastic way. They and many others in the space claim US government is the wallet's subsequent post-conviction owner and is merely taking advantage of a small spike in prices. So whatever this may be, what we have is a situation where a large amount of Bitcoin is being sold to two different exchanges. And basically, people have been looking into that, a little bit worried, understandably. And I think people are monitoring it in case they see large amounts, maybe 50,000 Bitcoins being sent to the exchanges. And you also have as well paranoia that the person selling it knows something that everyone else doesn't, which is perfectly natural in that situation. Well, what have we got to talk about now, man? I think we can squeeze it in. So let's talk about R3. So they were just rebuffed in an attempted bid for Settlement Coin blockchain project. So R3, one of the most prominent startups in the sector, tried unsuccessfully this summer to muscle in on another blockchain consortium, the Utility Settlement Coin, USC project, which is managed by UK technology vendor Clearmatics. In early June, R3 proposed to USC's bank members that the project be built on the startup's Corda platform instead of Clearmatics, which has been building the platform since the project's inception in 2015, according to four people familiar with the situation. To entice the banks to make this switch so late in the game, R3 offered to fund the technical development itself and to pay a share of legal fees. So the idea was unanimously rejected by the now 17 consortium members when put to a vote later that month. So let's put things in a little bit of perspective. So this happened close to a pivotal time for USC as the project moved into phase two at the beginning of August. So this is interesting because R3 are a private blockchain, or an enterprise blockchain. And what they've been doing is, you know, recruiting businesses, corporations to use their technology. Understand that, totally get that. But the issue is that if they don't have enough enterprises using their technology, you know, R3 has raised, I believe, over like $130 million. Like they've raised a lot of money. And what they need to do with their money is build with a lot of different banks and big enterprises to make their project successful. And what we're finding now is these guys who are the big banks are basically creating their own protocol. So they're in a bit of a situation here. So it's not great news for R3, but I know the guys are really well. I know they're going to pull through. I've got nothing but faith for them, and especially the London office here. The guys are amazing. They're really active in the community as well. So big shout out to them. Anyway, listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time, your attention. And remember, as always, to join us on the socials. That's where it goes down. And in fact, I want to give a special shout out to a new follower today. We had a special follower by the name of, I just have to remember his name here. His name was Harold Lefty Williams, which is the first left-handed showman in Globetrotter history. He hit us up today on Twitter. He's now a follower. And I encourage everyone listening to the show, if you haven't already, to follow us. It's at @SVK_crypto. Follow us. We'll follow you back. We're more than happy to give back on that one. But also, join us on Twitter. That's really where the conversations go down. If you want to speak to myself or any of the team, hit us up there. That's SVK Crowd, one word, or you can have a space between the SVK and the crowd.
Listen, anyway, I'll let you make that decision. So you got some options. Are you going to put a space between the SVK and crowd, or are you not? But either way, both roads lead to the Telegram group, which we're really active on. We share lots of pictures that are happening live, so it's the place to be. So join up if you haven't already. Thank you for your time and attention. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.